was debating how to start the show. I wasn't sure if I was going to start it with Janet Jackson's Breath or the New World Order. It's a toss-up to me. I ought to take a poll. How would you rather me do it? No, actually, right. I was going to talk about Janet Jackson's nipple. I have an amazing revelation, I think, about the New World Order. This hit me yesterday as I was watching Alex Jones on InfoWars. Good morning, everyone. This is the Revelation series. This is really what it is, and you're getting revelation. I'm going to move through this this Babylon stuff. I have so many loose ends, and I got this huge revelation. Let's see. Yeah, I'll get that to you probably today, but for sure by the end of the week. I'm not going to tease you, but I have to get necessary information here. It was pointed out to me. I just decided how I'm going to start the show. I mean, there's some things that are just more important than other things, and I have to prioritize. So, concerning Janet Jackson's nipple, it was pointed out to me that she was wearing a pasty over that exposed breast. The evil female breast. And that when her breast was exposed, the most evil part of it, the nipple, was actually covered. So, again, I ask, the corrupting, how does this corrupt? Now, I'll tell you what does corrupt, is to treat a natural thing like that as evil. That is one of the most corrupting things you can do, is to treat a natural thing evil, because then you're jumping on the bandwagon of the I can't think of, who are these people who have this invented dichotomy between nature and God? I forget what the heck you call them, and it really doesn't matter, but the Catholic Church raised me, raised many of you. Organized religion has told you that there's a God life, a spiritual life, and then there's a natural life, and that your passions to eat, to drink, to admire beauty, to have sex, to satiate yourself in any way is evil, and it must be conquered, overcome by the Spirit of God, as if the Spirit of God would oppose itself. Because didn't the Spirit of God itself create food and drink and men and women and penises and vaginas and breasts and nipples? Yes, all these things. Oh, when I was at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, many of the classic pieces of art are naked. I saw so many male penises in the Greek statue area that, well, it was just the male penis. And a lot of them, if it's based on reality, a lot of those Greeks had very small appendages there. But that's all right. It's not what you have, it's how you use it. And I saw many female breasts on other statues. And to me, it's all beautiful. So if you want to corrupt something, someone, what you do is you teach your child that, for instance, many people use this, many Christian, holy, spiritual people used the Super Bowl halftime performance to teach their children a lesson about the evils of nudity. These kids are going to grow up to be freaks. Freaks. And I promised to give you a lesson on corruption, because Enoch, in his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, speaks about the corrupting influence of entertainment media. Here is the definition of corrupt in the scripture, is to break into pieces. To break into pieces. So, and in this sense, he's correct in that it's the drip drip of popular things into our life, and of the idea that these popular things are legitimate. They're worthy of our attention. This is what takes our attention away from Christ. And again, here's the tricky thing, though, is if you deny yourself these things completely, then you'll become obsessed with them. And it's obsession with them that has the greatest potential to corrupt, to break our concentration toward Christ. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to use a verse from Romans 14 to corroborate my revelation here. It's allowing things, allowing all things that has the greatest potential of delivering you from being obsessed over these things. I allow myself to look at Janet Jackson's breast, and so it doesn't, it's not a compulsion, therefore. But the kid who was told that this is the forbidden fruit, he is going to have a compulsion then to see it. And the more it's denied him, the stronger his compulsion grows, and it reaches a tipping point where it becomes an obsession and an addiction. And I claim to you that the greatest safeguard against addiction of any kind is allowing yourself to partake thereof. This is amplified for us by God via the pen of Paul in Romans chapter 7, the old thou shalt not thing. In 2 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 2, it was Paul's desire to present the ecclesias, in this case the Corinthian ecclesia, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, to present them as a chaste virgin to Christ. By that he means their apprehension should be single-mindedly toward Christ. Yet, Paul says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, that your apprehensions should be corrupted from the singleness and pureness which is in Christ. See, the context there is singleness and pureness, and Paul doesn't want the apprehensions to be corrupted. And how would that happen? By the craftiness of the serpent. Look at this word craftiness first. In the Greek, it's every action. So craftiness is action. Craftiness, the serpent uses movement. And the serpent is a tricky, moving creature that beguiles by its smooth movements. One of the things that amazed Solomon, one of the mysteries that he couldn't understand, was the way of a serpent on a rock. One of them was the way of a ship on the sea, a serpent on the rock, and the way of a man with a maiden. Ho, 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 a man with a maiden, that's what we're talking about. No, actually, no, we're talking about now the motion of a serpent on a rock. And it's the undulations of the body of the serpent as it moves. It seems to be a mystery. How does it do that? Well, this is the same type, same kind of action that beguiled Eve. Same kind of thing, which that thing was action. Now, Paul's concern is that this craftiness would cause your apprehensions to be corrupted. Corruption is to break into pieces. Corrupt. This is the meaning of the Greek word used behind this. I'm not sure what the Greek word is here. It's Latin corruptus, but I don't have the Greek word on hand, but it means to break into pieces. It's so interesting that videos now and pictures, television pictures, are pieces. Back in the old days, the analog televisions, the ray, the cathode ray or something, just scanned hundreds, thousands, millions of times, and it presented a piece at a time. And if it happened fast enough, then you got the entire thing, the entire picture. Motion pictures, when they first came out on film, it was there was hundreds of pieces, thousands of pieces, that when they're run quickly past a light, appear to be moving, but they're not moving. It the film is moving through the machine, but it's presenting to you a series of pictures, pieces. So we see things in pieces. Even video now, it contains pixels. This is why you can edit in Photoshop, because you can adjust the pixels, you can break it down. And if you look at a close-up of any photograph, you see that it's made up of many, many thousands of pixels, little tiny pieces. And so these are the things that corrupt these. What's making that noise? There are things that, tiny things that, taken as a whole, present an image to us, and that image, of course, is manipulated by the people putting forward the image. And so this is the thing that can take the apprehensions away. Now, I claim to you that that religion can do this just as adeptly as any sort of Jewish producer or filmmaker by prohibiting it. Prohibiting it is just as much a corruption as overindulging it. That's why you and I walk a fine line, and it is a fine line. It's a tightrope walk, and only the Spirit of God can do this, can give us the right amount of partaking, of sipping, and keep us from what I would consider just about, yes, I'm thinking about this, do I consider this a worst evil? Okay. I have to say yes, I consider it a worst evil to prohibit. I think prohibition, thou shalt not, is guaranteed to send you off into a path that eventually leads to addiction. And it is, this is why, I say that, because if you say overindulge these things, there's a chance that something great will happen there. That path leads to despair eventually, but that despair leads to God. But this other path, the path of prohibition, leads to, I think, becoming religious, which is anti-God. And you never do come to that come to Jesus moment, because you are on a track, a self-appointed track of self-righteousness. You're right and everybody else is wrong. At least when you indulge. It sounds like I'm recommending indulgence over prohibition. I am, only if I have those two things to compare. I'm not telling you to sin. I would never tell you to sin. But I'm saying both overindulgence and prohibition is sin. And so I'm saying it only when comparing these two that I think that the prohibition is the worst of the evils, because that will produce a Saul. Look at this verse from Romans chapter 14, verse 14. Is that where I am? Yes, Romans 14, 14. Easy to remember this. Paul speaking, this is a man who came to this conclusion by great wisdom, and a Pharisee would never have say what Paul is about to say here. So this man had to have been broken and made anew to come to this revelation. Speaking of revelations, I have not forgotten my revelation about the New World Order. It looks like tomorrow for that. Paul, 14:14, Romans. I have perceived and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus. This is a huge revelation here. You ready for it? That nothing is contaminating of itself. Nothing is contaminating of itself. Janet Jackson's nipple is not contaminating, except that the one reckoning anything to be contaminating, to that one, it is contaminating. So people are condemned, not by the thing, but by their own consciences. Their consciences. Yeah, I need the N in there. So they're condemned by what they think is sin, see. And I should follow up on here. The faith which you have for yourself in God's sight, happy is he who is not judging himself in that which he is attesting. Verse 22 of Romans 14. So I'm not judging myself. What when I tell you that I could watch a woman's breast for 15 minutes straight? Yeah, sure, why not? See, I'm not judging myself. Now, if I forced that on you, I'm just telling you about it. I'm not forcing it on you. I'm not recommending my course to you, am I? No. But maybe I'm not following Paul's advice perfectly here. The faith which I have a faith toward this. I know that this is not contaminating. In fact, I know that it's actually good and pure and holy. And it's what. So what if it produces lust? Lust is not bad. It's what you do with the lust that's bad. Lust gives you an opportunity to not indulge in the lust. How can you be pure and holy unless you have a lust to be pure and holy against? So lust is necessary. You need it. You need lust. But the big thing again is, what do you do with it? So I'm not worried about lust either. Lust is absolutely normal. It just means desire. That's all it means. Desire. So, I'm not reckoning it to be contaminating, so to me it's not contaminating. So I have to keep this faith to myself. I'm not judging myself, but if you're doubting that you should be looking at this, then it's not out of faith. You have no faith. You have less faith than I do. I can look at it and rejoice. You look at it and freak out, and you worry that it's gonna corrupt you. I say yes, it will corrupt you, but it'll corrupt you not in a way that you think it's gonna corrupt you. It's gonna turn you into a self-righteous nincompoop. I'm trying my best to explain this to you without pushing it on you. That's where that comes in. I'm not going to push you beyond your present level of faith. You see. And yet at the same time, I do want to challenge you. There's another tightrope to walk. I want to challenge you. Maybe cause your faith to expand and to grow without forcing you to do something that your conscience believes is sin. Have I succeeded? I hope so.